Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to gather together. Lord, we know that it's a warm evening, and yet, Lord, we thank you for warm fellowship that we can have in you. And Lord, this evening we just come to you. We just ask for your blessing to be upon us. Lord, we pray that you would bless your word, Father. Lord, we know that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I just pray that it could be a vessel that you can use tonight to your honor and glory, Father. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have open hearts to receive what you have, Lord. But most of all, we thank you for what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. Lord, he has given us all that pertain unto life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, there's many places on a Saturday night that we could be. And yet, Lord, it's only because your love constrained us. You called us to you while we were yet sinners. And Lord, tonight you've called us together in this way to be a witness and a testimony for you. Thank you, Lord, for your body, the body of believers. And Father, tonight we just pray that you would bless us as we're here. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Greetings to all of you. It's a good evening to be together. In Colossians, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, to them which the church at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And so tonight I welcome all of you here, called to be saints. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you tonight here are saints? If you're a saint here tonight, say amen. Amen. There's quite a few. Praise the Lord. I was blessed by reading and studying for this message. And I wonder how many of you know, or does anyone, who can tell me what the Greek word for saint is? That's not necessarily going to be my message tonight, but it kind of fits in a little bit. Does anyone know what the Greek word for saint is? How's that again? Hagios. Yes, hagios. Thank you. Let me write that on the board. That word is hagios. What's the meaning of that word? Does anyone? It's hagios, yes. And it means several different things, but pure. Pure is one. Holy is another one. We are called saints. Are we pure and holy? And you know, I think it's, I was thinking about that as I was looking at this one verse in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11, where it says he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And why did he do that? Why did God give some of these gifts in the church? For the perfecting of the saints. It was for the perfecting of the pure and holy. How do you perfect something, or what is the need to perfect something that is pure and holy? For the perfecting of the saints. Says that's why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And even in 1 Corinthians, he had called them that they are called to be saints. And if you read Corinthians, you know things weren't all that good. And so I think that's kind of what we would like to talk about here this evening, perfecting of the saints. And for a while I was sitting here last night and I thought Brother David's going to preach my message, and I changed it a little bit, and he kind of focused on the negative, and I'm maybe going to focus a little more on the positive here tonight, on the perfecting of the saints. And it's kind of interesting how many different ways we sometimes have of saying almost the same thing, but perfecting of the saints. And I'd invite you this evening to turn to the book of 1 Peter. And if you're from the congregation at Shining Light, you probably heard some of, or you heard me read this last Sunday, this portion of Scripture. And I started preaching through the book of 1 Peter, and there's a phrase in there in verse 2, sanctification of the Spirit, that I'd like to talk about here tonight. Sanctification of the Spirit. And I think what I'll do is I'll read probably the whole book. It kind of fits together, the whole book, the first chapter. I'll read the whole chapter this morning. Anyway, if you're at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting to read in verse 1, it says, Peter, and this Peter that wrote this, he was a, I love Peter. He was a, he had a heart to serve his Savior. And I believe after Pentecost, he was sold out for Christ like few men were. But this Peter, he's just bursting from the seams, it seems. He's just, he just almost can't put enough words and praise in for what Christ has done for us. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, which being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. We live in a day of grace that the prophets were diligently searching and wondering what this would be. Verse 11, searching what, or of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges to every man's work, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. It doesn't matter in what kind of upbringing you were. Maybe you were never that bad. It doesn't matter. Maybe you were in a very bad situation. It says, it doesn't matter. He said, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You won't be brought into the kingdom either just by tradition, just because of something that's been passed down from tradition or by silver and gold. But it's in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Sanctification. Let me write that title on the board. Sanctification. Of the Spirit. And I wonder if I shouldn't write down the Holy Spirit. I don't think I do any injustice by writing down the Holy Spirit, because that is what the Spirit of God is, holy. Sanctification of the Spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. If you drop down to verse 16, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Does any one of you know what the Greek word for holy is? It's actually not just the same root, it is the same exact word. It is the same word. Holy is the same word, hagios, which means holy. Pure. It also means, it comes from the root word, which means it's an awful thing. It's an awesome thing. It's an awful. It's something to be reverenced, in awe, holy. Maybe a little bit more of that later. Now, sanctification. Dropping down to verse 2 again. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. We talked about a little bit about that first phrase last Sunday. But, and if I fail to mention it later, somebody ever asks you, where can I find a verse with the Trinity in it? It's right here in verse 2. You have got the Father, you have got the Son, and you have got the Holy Spirit. They're all right there. You have got the Father, who through His foreknowledge has called us. Whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish. God the Father, in His foreknowledge, has also called us unto sanctification of the Spirit. What does the word sanctification? Let me write that word. It's the same root word, and it is hagi. Let me write it down here. Hagiasmas, the same root word. And it means purification. Purifier, holiness. Sanctification of the Spirit. It's a purifier. That's what that word means. It's the same word. I found it very interesting. Holy, saint, sanctification. The perfecting of the saints. And when we get born again, and by the way, for those of you here that sit here tonight and are not born again, this message is not necessarily for you. Yes, please listen in. And yet, you cannot be sanctified unless you have been born again. You need the Spirit of God to sanctify you. And if you're not born again, you don't have the Spirit of God. There's a verse in the Bible that says, work out your own fear, your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work out something you don't have. You can't train a horse that you don't have. You can't train a horse if you don't have the horse. Maybe a little clarity on that, rather we come into a works religion. What is sanctification? Maybe we should first talk a little bit about what it is not. I've been asked in places where people would ask me, are you born again? And I would say yes. And he says, well, have you been sanctified? And it's a word that we don't often use. It's in the Bible, but we don't often use it. And there's groups that use this to mean that there's other words that people use. There's a second work of grace that people use, and what they're meaning by that is that have you had some dramatic experience after your conversion where now your sin is eradicated and you can no longer sin? That's what they mean by that. There's groups out there that believe in the eradication of the flesh. That is not what this word necessarily means, even though I believe that sanctification, there is a sanctification that happens when we do get born again. There's another, some people call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, I like to be filled with the Holy Ghost many times. I need to be continually filled. I believe in many works of grace, not just a first or a second. We need the grace of God to be working in our lives every day. And by the way, I praise God for Holy Ghost experiences. I think we need those sometimes, but let's also not, that's not an end in itself. There's been times when I've been in places where there was a mighty shaking of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I like that. I enjoy that. When God moves and God starts opening eyes and people start weeping, what a blessing. We need that. We need the Holy Spirit. But that is not an end in itself. Some people even go so far as to say that they can now no longer be tempted by sin. They are sanctified. Now I can no longer be tempted with sin. says Jesus was tempted in all, in the same ways that we were. Even Jesus was tempted. So that is not, and I've been asked that question, which you can get into lengthy discussions. Some of those people are really, really convinced. But sanctification is a purifier. There's a verse in the Bible that also says that it happens by the word of God. And I think there's a verse where it says it also happens by prayer. But tonight I want to look at it more from the aspect of sanctification of the Spirit, which is the phrase that we have in here. Sanctification. Here's from a Bible dictionary. It says, by sanctification, it is ordinarily meant that the hallowing of the Christian believer, the making holy of the Christian believer by which he is freed from sin and enabled to realize the will of God in his life. To sanctify means commonly to make holy, to separate from the world and consecrate to God. And I believe there's different ways I've heard people say, explain it as progressive sanctification. There's other people it's a practical sanctification is what I would believe. I believe that, yes, there is a sanctification, there's a setting apart, there's a sanctification that happens when we are born again. But I also believe that we are being, today we should be being sanctified, and tomorrow and on down the line there's continuing to be a sanctification. If we are walking with the Lord, I don't think there's anybody here that is as pure as God would like him to be, as holy as God would like him to be. And as David said last night, these things that we often preach about are things that we need in our own life. I need sanctification. Sanctified by the Spirit. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4, we read a couple verses there. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is the will of God, even our sanctification, that we should know how to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. We should abstain from fornication. Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ has begun a work in us. If we're here tonight and we've been gloriously saved, God has done a work. But God was not done when he saved us. You know, as we go through life, there's many hardships and things that we face in life, and I've wondered, you know, God, wouldn't it have been easier if you would have just, when I got saved, if you would have just taken me out of this world? You know, you face many things. You had there's a time in my life when our family situation, there was some enmity there. There we couldn't get together like we used to, because of some of the things that we stood for. It's a lot better now. Praise the Lord. We have are able to fellowship somewhat, but you know there's many things that we go through in life, God is not done with us. God wants to continue to purify us. God wants to use us to further his kingdom. God wants us to sanctify us. He that has begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And he's referring to the time when Christ comes back. He will continue, or we die. God wants to continue to do a work. Now I ask the question, so we know these verses that it is not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Or another one's in Ephesians where he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, so why sanctification? I'm afraid sometimes we get the idea that we were saved by grace, but now we do some of these things, we do some of these things and the works that come after kind of to please God. You know, to kind of to keep God happy. Is that why we do it? I hope not. I hope that's not. That's works. But we read here in 1 Peter, in verse 17, it says, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. So he's judging our work. But it's not of works. Or maybe we are, you know, we're not doing this necessarily to please God, and yet to be sanctified, you know, we have to do these works. How does all this work? Why are we doing this? I think he tells us right here in 1 Peter why. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We have a holy God that we serve. And he is holy. Let me read a few verses to you about the holiness of God. Leviticus 11, verse 44. And this is where Peter, I think, got his from. It says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Speak, in Leviticus 19, verse 2, he's telling Moses, speak unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He's a holy God. He's a pure God. He's so far removed from us in holiness. Or is he? In Isaiah 6, in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, here Isaiah is writing this. He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And above it sat the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The whole temple was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When he saw God as God really was, he saw himself as undone. Woe is me. I wonder if we would really see God as who he is, what would be our response? Isaiah 57 and verse 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He's in a high and holy place. But he's there with the contrite and the humble. To revive the humble, the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God is holy. That is why we need holiness in our life. Because we're talking tonight about sanctification of the Spirit. See, this Holy Spirit, this awesome God that we serve, has a Spirit that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. How can we not but be purified? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of this God, this holy God, dwells within you? Don't you know that?" And then in verse 17 it says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And I think that could be in a church body, could be the temple of God, but it's also in our own soul. Praise God for water tonight. John 14 and verse 15, it says, actually, let's turn to John 14, talking about the Spirit that sanctifies us. John chapter 14. In verse 15, it says, "If you love me," John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." He shall be in you, the Spirit of God. Go drop down to verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Comforter. Turn back two chapters to chapter 16. John 16 in verse 7 through 14. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." That's what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. He will reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. "Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." This Holy Spirit will glorify the Son. The Holy Spirit in our lives will glorify Christ. You know, when we think of of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How can we have the Holy Spirit and not be changed? You know, this water looks crystal clear. I think it comes from the Stalters. They have clear water. Good water. How many of you know how much of the water on the earth is salt water? What percent? What percent of the water on the earth is salt water? It's right around 97% of the water on earth is salt water. Do you know that people can go out on the ocean and die of thirst sitting on all that water? They can. People have. Because it's too salty. Your body cannot work it off fast enough. You'll continue to get thirsty. The more you drink, the thirstier you'll get. But you know, this awesome God that we serve had a way of purifying this water. This water at one point was probably in the ocean. Salty. You couldn't drink it. But God put a plan in place. And as the sun beats down, it evaporates. And I'm not a meteorologist here tonight and can tell you all these things. But this water evaporates off the ocean. It also evaporates off of our trees and things. But it evaporates and it goes up into as vapor. This water is H2O. It's hydrogen and oxygen. And if it wouldn't be for the stickiness, it would just be a gas. But it's just sticky enough for it to cling together. And yet it's not that sticky that it doesn't evaporate. God is so much higher than we are. And yet we have people believing in evolution. So this evaporates, and then God created a vehicle to carry this water. Children, what kind of vehicle does God use to transport water? Anyone know? Clouds. God made a vehicle to transport this water, and this water condenses and forms into clouds, and then it comes back down as rain. And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's in the brief way. And last night, Brother David had a plant up here. A popcorn plant. And I hope he got that thing back into the ground. I like popcorn. But his good plants started to wilt up and kind of wanted to die. And he said he gave it some nourishment. I'm not sure what he gave it, but I'm guessing it was probably some of it was water. See, when rain comes down and the water soaks up the earth, It rejuvenates the grass. It makes it grow. There's something that happens. That's just what water does. The same as the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into contact with people, there's something that happens. There's changes. And this water, this plant that had wanted to wilt was starting to look pretty good again. And he also had some that I don't think he gave it too much nourishment because he kind of wanted it to look dead. But the one that he gave water was kind of reviving. And that's what rain does. When right now we're pretty dry, but the other morning we had a nice little shower. And it's amazing what it does to a cornfield. If you drive past it several hours later, how it starts to read the shriveled up leaves start to go back out. It's what rain does. It's what water does to a plant. That's what the Holy Spirit, when it comes in contact with you and me, it changes us. It has. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We are being changed from glory to glory. It can't but help to do that. If the Spirit of God is in you and in my life, in your life and my life, we will be changed from what we used to be. And if the Holy Spirit continues to be there, we will continue to be changed. We need Him. Now, there's other things that need to take place. And last night, David went into a lot of things, hindrances to spiritual growth. Sins will keep the Holy Spirit from working in your life. Probably will keep Him from doing too much to you at all. He might even leave eventually. But we're not going to be talking so much about that. But there is something that needs to take place, and that is death. There's a death that needs to take place in our lives. In Galatians 2, in verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one of my favorite verses. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So I am dead, yet I'm living. Yet it's not really me, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there's a death that needs to take place. We could turn to Romans chapter 6, where it says, I reckon myself to be dead, indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. In Mark 8, I remember as a young man, not understanding salvation, I was working in a workplace, and me and this older man were talking about this, and I said, and there's a scripture, I think, somewhere it says, and this was the scripture I was referring to, and I didn't understand this. We were talking about this, wondering what this really meant. In Mark 8, in verse 34, it says, And when he had called the people unto him, he said unto the disciples also, and he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then the next verse is what we were talking about. It says, Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. To somebody that's not a Christian, this does not make any sense at all. We could not figure this out because that is so far from common sense. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall, and the gospel shall save it. But there's a denying of himself and taking up of the cross of Christ. There's a dying to self. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I don't want to keep you late here tonight. This is it's a warm evening and it's Saturday night. I think we should turn to Romans chapter 6. And I'm not sure where we should... Let's just start and read verse 11 and verse 12. It says, Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a death. And this first portion of Scripture in chapter 6 talks about being crucified, being baptized into His death, knowing that Christ raised from the dead. There's life in the baptism. There's a resurrection that happened. Therefore, we can live above sin as well. But there's a death that needs to happen to the to our own life. And Paul said, I die daily. There's a daily thing that needs to happen in our lives where we reckon ourselves. And then in verse 12 it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so, even though there's when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you reckon yourself dead, there's still something else, I think, that needs to happen here. And our will needs to be engaged, and I don't believe that's not necessarily works, but we need to engage ourselves. There's no other way that we can practically live out the Christian life without our will being engaged. It says, neither yield. So when times of temptation come, we cannot yield. There's a, I'm not sure who said this, but somebody once said that in time of temptation, you often have 5 seconds to make up your mind what you're going to do. I'm not sure where he got that, but that there's an act of the will that needs to be engaged. It's not like we get on a plane in Cleveland or wherever. Maybe it's Newark, New Jersey, and you sit back and you can do absolutely nothing, and then 16 hours, 17 hours later, you can arrive in Hong Kong. That's not the way the Christian life is. We have to engage our will. Our will needs to be engaged. There's some action that we do need to take. But it's because the Holy Spirit is in our life, and there's fellowship with God. I think it all comes down to fellowship. There's another verse. There's a lot of verses, but I just chose out a few here. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. There's an act that we need to do. We need to follow peace with all men. That there's times when we need to act upon something. There's, you know, sometimes we might get hurt in life, and we need to decide what we're going to do about that. Are we going to forgive? If we don't do anything, there's probably bitterness going to be springing up within us. And that will take us down into the depths of despair. Many people have chosen not to forgive. They just didn't forgive. And many of those people end up on tranquilizers and all kind of medication. We need to forgive. We can forgive. Sometimes it doesn't feel the best. But God tells us to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How can we not forgive? Do you know how much Christ has forgiven me for? Everything. He died for me. That's how much He loved us. How can I not forgive? There's an act of the will that needs to be engaged in sanctification. I can't just sit back and hope everything turns out all right. There is an act of the will that needs to be engaged. You know, this, if you're in Romans chapter 6, in Romans chapter 7, it talks about where this man was, and he wanted to do good and he couldn't, and he was in this, you know, he wanting to do good and he couldn't do it, and he was up and down, and finally he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then was the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He had his mind engaged. He said with his mind he serves the law of God. And then he says, but it's the flesh. It's with the flesh. The flesh is what was dragging him down. In chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There was a walking. There was an act. They were walking after the Spirit. They were seeking after God. There was fellowship with God. There was a seeking after. There was a walking after. There was a hungering after God. You know, this fellowship with God is a gift. Salvation is a gift. There's no other way. We did not deserve this. It's a gift that God has given to us. But God wants us to be pure. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Fellowship with God. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That fellowship with God, there's such a fellowship that Jesus now calls us brethren. Can you believe that? This holy God, Son, Jesus, the author of our salvation, we are called his brothers. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. But it says, the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. There's suffering in this Christian life that we go through. Christ suffered. And as you look through 1 Peter, there's the theme of that is suffering for Christ. Suffering. But he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Are we ashamed to call him our brother? Are we? But you know, this fellowship with God, there's a fruit that comes from fellowship with God. And that fruit, one of those fruits is obedience. In Hebrews 5:8, it said, even Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Obedience to Christ is part of the fruit. Just as that, if we have that fellowship with God, if we have fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit is living within us, it can't but be otherwise that we start obeying Christ. If we don't have sin in our lives, we are clean before God. Just as that water makes the plants grow, the Holy Spirit has that effect in our life, a purifying effect. Through obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace follow as well. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Actually, turn to that. Sometimes it helps us to look at things. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When such things are happening in our lives, there's really no need for a law. Because Christ is working in us and through us. We're living above the law. Verse 25, then he says, but if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what he's saying. If we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit of God, if Christ is in you, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, those are the fruit that comes out of it. And then in verse 26, it said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, that's usually where the rubber meets the road and where those little squabbles start. Why did he have to put that behind that glorious three verses? Let us not be desirous of vain glory. You know, see what I have done? Can you see what I did? That's not coming from the Spirit of God. You know, I've met people, it seems, where everything they do in life is a competition to try and be better than somebody else. And I think it's built into us that we want to do a good job, and that's good and okay. But not everything in life should be a competition. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, puffing ourselves up and provoking one another, envying one another. And you know, it's such a blessing. Last fall, we divided our two congregations and get back together here and work together. And we had a funeral and working together. Those things are such a blessing. It's a blessing that there can be unity, can be a church divide, and there can be unity in getting back together. And yet there's those things that we can very easily start to, you know what, we did this and we did that, and kind of start looking down on each other. And let's not do that. That's the flesh. Let's not do that. But if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. We can't but help be what the Holy Spirit wants us to be. In closing, turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Sanctified. Sanctification through the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is dwelling within us, we are recognizing that our flesh needs to die. Not my will, even as Christ said, but thy will be done. And we are actively engaging. You know, when we have fellowship with God, when we read God's word and we pray, and maybe you're here this evening, and there's something in your life that you just can't. There's no way that you've tried. Try fasting. Read Isaiah, I think it's 58. Try fasting. Get real with God. God's way works. I'm convinced it does. It's me that's the problem. Let's read John chapter 7. It says, in that last day, in verse 37, John 7 and verse 37, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus stood there at that great day of the feast on the last day, and he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Jesus was, and I'm guessing they kind of looked at him like, who are you? What are you? You know, he had told that Samaritan woman at the well. I can give you living water. Living water. And then he says in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When we have a, when we are being sanctified by the Lord Jesus, and we are fellowshipping with the Lord, it should be spilling over into other people's lives as well. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you splashing on your brothers and sisters? Lord bless you all.